Hello. This topic is kind of crazy. I know it's kind of crazy, and people get very much up in arms, but I love being up in arms, clearly. So, is shipping okay sometimes? Before I get into the whatever, I will say my take on romance first. For anyone who knows me, knows how much I loathe. When I say loathe, I loathe romance in terms of how it is portrayed in media, how it's set as a goal and as a measure of success. It's like, oh, what's wrong with her? She's still single. She has no kids. Oh my God. Or like, oh my God, he's so hot. Why is he single? Is he gay? Oh my God, like, oh, they didn't last. Oh, what a shame. Why is it a shame? Are you in their bed with them? So romance really jars me. And I think there's an obsession as well with it in general, especially when it comes. Have you guys even noticed on TikTok, right? You would have a personal trainer with their client. Let's say the male and female. There would be those comments. Oh my God. Like, oh, the way he looks at her. Oh, she blushes in front of him. Meanwhile, they're just talking. They're just training each other. It drives me up the fucking wall. I'm like, are we so brainwashed and obsessed with romance that we see it in everyone? And there's also an unsaid observation when people make these comments, because let one of the people in that coupling be hideous. Suddenly it's like, oh, what a cute friendship. It's like, oh. So you guys, you don't even realize you're doing this, but there's this thing of an unsaid thing of men and women can't be friends, for sure. If it's two men, they're both gay. Two straight men cannot have a close relationship. Then someone's like, God forbid a woman marries a man who's a little bit flamboyant. The comments are all saying, lavender marriage. Oh, is anyone going to tell her? I don't even smoke, but I need a cigarette because it enrages me. And I'm even, when it comes to TV shows or books that I read, I intentionally avoid romance, because a lot of Western ideas of romance becomes the complete identity of a character. They're nothing more than someone who wants to be in love or have a baby or this and that. And I understand how significant those things are, but human beings are way more layered than that. And it's part of the reason as well of why I really enjoyed K-dramas at a time. Those people would have feelings for each other, but they won't kiss until episode 14. You go to an American show, after that, they're having sex half an hour into episode 1. The contrast is scary. So also, besides just the romance, this over-sexualization of things. So me and romance don't really see eye to eye. I don't really have that. Like, oh, well, I didn't. Well, I don't know if I didn't. I don't know. That thing of like, oh my God, they would do it, because you cannot always impose, although I'm going to impose later, but you shouldn't really impose what you think people are before they've told you that's what they are. It's weird to just think because two people are attractive, they should be together. People see a couple outside, two people, say a man and woman once again. Immediately, they're a couple. They could be siblings. They could be co-workers. Although that's iffy. Hello, CEO, Coldplay concert. They could be cousins. It could be a father and a daughter. It could be a mother and a son. But we are so conditioned to romanticize, and not even in the idealistic sense, but we really just see things as romantic just because it's two people. So that is part of the dangers with shipping. Now, for the most part, actually, shipping in K-pop is usually within group members. Let's say two members are dating, and obviously same-sex groups. We only have a couple of co-ed groups, so they don't really count. But when it comes to the regular same-sex groups, shipping is such a big thing. And there's even like sometimes a hierarchy of like, this ship is really popular and this ship is this. And you know, by ship is a relationship. But yeah, it's shipping. There's hierarchies. This one's really this and that. And some of the dangers with that, actually, let's go to my favorite ship, the one that started it all, Larry Stylinson. Now, of course, not K-pop, this is One Direction, but this can kind of show the dangers of and the negatives of shipping and why people don't like it. Harry and Louis had a really strong friendship, and let me tell you right now, I watched every single one of those videos. I wonder if they're even still online, but I was invested. These were, oh, I believed it. And to be honest, they made it very easy to believe. They were joking around about not being able to walk after spending the previous night together, or they're all laughing, or they would talk about, Harry would always talk about what was the first meal someone made for him on a date or something. And it happens to be the exact same meal that Louis was like, I make this chicken wrapped in whatever. So people were like, this is nuts. And they also, I mean, they had a lot of moments. It was crazy. But because it became such an obsession within the fan base, it would even be brought up in media interviews. So people were like, there are rumors that, are you guys dating? Or there's a picture, there's this picture of, and it's edited. And Harry, to be honest, as the video said, was a terrible liar. He didn't really say much. Louis was the one that would jump in. But they would never really outwardly deny that they're not dating. It would always be like, oh, this is just ridiculous. This is ridiculous. But no actual denial, which I found interesting. Then people would think their girlfriends are bought by and their beards and they're fake and they're meant to be cover-ups. And it's something even, and this is how bad it gets. When Louis had his child, his baby, people were like, oh, it's all fake. It still didn't go away. Now, we know, well, I know, and I hope some of you don't know as well, sexuality is a spectrum. I was saying this in my Insta stories the other day. When it comes to every other desire in life, whether it's food or it's music or any pleasure, we understand there's a billion variables. There's a billion variables in what mood you're in, what appetite you're in, what really tastes good that day, what you want to hear, there's so many variables to that. Yet we've been conditioned to believe that we only desire one. There's only two boxes that you're in, gay or straight. And I say two because people discount bi people all the time. Don't even get me started. Even people in the LGBT community don't even accept that, oh yeah, he's bi. He's like, he's just pretending he's gay. Or she's bi. No, she's just pretending to kiss girls every now and then, but she wants a boyfriend. The biggest scheme of thing is that's unsaid with all that is that men are the prize, no matter what side you're on. It was just so funny. People don't believe lesbians are lesbians. They go, no, I can turn her. Why do men presume that people want men all the time? Anyway, I do believe that Louis and Harry, something happened. Or I genuinely believe that simply because of, I know, we know what teenage boys are like. We know what they're like. They get up to any sort of whatever and they do things. And this is why I say sexuality is a complex thing. Had they done physical things, whether it's experimenting or whatever, or they were questioning at one point, or maybe they're bi or they lean this way, there's a billion combinations. It doesn't discount the fact that when they were dating girls, they would have felt something. Or to even have a child, it would have felt something. Maybe a lack of honesty from their part adds to the frustration, because you cannot gaslight fans who put this video together. Yes, sometimes you can make something out of nothing, but also sometimes there is no smoke without fire. So then maybe the frustration also comes to fans where you kind of go, no, you lot are gaslighting us. Like, you did so many things that went in isolation. It just feels like, was it Louis's mum interacting with Larry shippers on Twitter or whatever, or really acknowledging this special relationship that they have, or things that were tweet to each other, or was it Ed Sheeran talking about a song that he wrote for them? There's so many layers to it that it kind of feels weird that you then will gaslight us and go, oh, it's just editing. Baby, you can't edit what's not there. So this thing was just building and building. And mind you, Louis and Harry were very close to start with. And then eventually you could see it was starting to affect the relationship to the point where management would chime in and make sure they weren't sitting next to each other. They weren't on stage next to each other. They just stopped interacting. And then it put a wedge in the relationship. And I'm pretty sure Louis spoke about this and said it did put a wedge in the relationship. I think it was Louis. Maybe. I'm not sure. So that is kind of what happens. But to me, I'm like, if I was in that position, nothing, maybe I couldn't say that because I've not been in that position. One Direction was insane. Maybe something just to make life easier, you just acquiesce and just be like, you know what, whatever, let's just interact less. But it's such a shame that you would let that happen. But my point I was going to say is I couldn't let a lie stop me from being close with my friend. I just wouldn't. But I understand how because also them now not interacting kind of made things more awkward than we go, wait, what's going on? Is there something here? Whereas had they just said, we don't care and we're still close, then people probably not give a shit anymore. So then, yeah, so I don't know the approach and execution, but I understand human beings are complex creatures. There's not always hindsight is 2020. There's always the correct way to do things, but we make mistakes. So I kind of get that. So, and it's similar. So Harry and Louis were very much that kind of first ship that I got to witness to that extent. And then, and it's funny because if they really were together, how would it have impacted their branding? Because then Harry is one of the biggest soloists right now, and his music, although I don't actually think he uses pronouns much in his music, from all his big hits, there's no like she or her vibe from what I'm collecting, but I could be wrong. He kind of says neutral, but then he still has this vibe that he's presents as a very cis-het man, let's be real. So I do wonder what kind of implications that would have had. Although those fans are all like, yes, we want them to be together, let it be true. Be for real. If you knew, or if you suspected they don't desire you anymore, would you really be invested? Let's be real. And we all know what internalized homophobia is, or even just general homophobia, I guess, if it's not internalized. I still think it's a risk now, which I find it funny that people then expect Korean stars to come out. Are you crazy? We can barely accept Westerners when they come out. Why would we expect people in a country that's so conservative to come out? It makes no sense. And that's why I find the whole shipping thing fascinating, because you've got a super conservative country where being gay is still looked down upon. You still get hate crimes, blah, blah, blah. I'm not even sure if gay marriage is illegal there. Should let me do a quick Google. I'm pretty sure it's not. Which is wild, right? Because it's in so many other ways, they're so open. Yeah, so in South Korea, same-sex marriage is neither prohibited nor legally recognized. Crazy. But they're still so open about cross-dressing and all these other things, and how they do masculinity is so different, but then it doesn't really mean much in the bigger scheme of things, I guess. So one of the biggest ships, which I did mention in my BTS note, into how we're going to K-pop, was Jikook. Jimin and Jungkook, and I did touch on it more in that video, but they were very similar to Larry. the proof was all there. It was loud as hell. And in this case, they're still going strong till now. Jimin and Jungkook do not care. They're going on their trips together. We were talking about this in Discord. How do you spend time with someone all this time? You're in the military together, you leave the military, then the first thing you do is go on holiday together. Like, what? But then also, there's this thing of many people exist in this weird limbo that is, I don't know if it's not platonic, but it's not romantic. It's in between. It's a different level of intimacy. Probably one we haven't explored yet because we're so obsessed with the binary of it's either romantic or platonic. So there could be that, like you're connected, but maybe you don't actually do things, or maybe you do, but you do. I don't know. There's just so much to it. But they've not, they've not changed their relationship whatsoever. They really enjoy each other's company. They're still as close, and they're still doing coupley things. I think they even have a pair of rings they got, which is wild. And a big thing in South Korea as well is the whole first snow thing. So the person you see the first snow with is like your someone you want to spend a lot of your rest of your life with, or and that could be platonic as well, I think. But in this case, it felt a little bit romantic. And then there was also Q and Juyeon from The Boys. Oh my God, when I found these videos, I was like, what's going on here? I was so caught off guard. And I was like, I'm into this. This is so interesting. And it's funny because I don't actually know any girl-on-girl ships because I'm not interested. But with the guys, and I guess also the reason why I suspect these ships are so comforting and why it feels like we want more of it is it's just seeing a softer side to men. It's funny how the world would be so much better with a lot less toxic masculinity in it. Hell, masculinity, period. But whatever it is, because we all know those terms even define things that we've made up. Everything is fucking made up. But yeah, it's there's an addiction to seeing men just be softer and men be cute. And people always joke about wanting to see men kiss. And it's so true. Like, there's just something in that makes us feel the world would be a safer place if more men were nicer to other men to varying degrees. And seeing those two was kind of like, oh, wow. And then you also had Han and Hyunjin from Stray Kids. Oh, my God. There was this video of them in the car. I'll never forget this video. They're in the back seat. And Han has his hand behind Hyunjin's neck. And he's kind of like rubbing it. And then it looks like he's going to go in for a kiss. It's like, what the fuck? It's so crazy. And Hyunjin did say that sometimes like Han, no, not Han. What am I talking about? Han, Changbin. No, Han. I don't know who he's saying. It's Changbin. I don't know why I wrote Han there. Changbin would climb into bed and just kiss his lips. And also there's another thing here that we don't know about. It's like, they're in such a unique, it's not that unique in South Korea, but it's still in a way, especially in the previous generations where you're in this space with going through this unique experience with someone where you're training intensively, you're seeing each other every day, you're together through ups and downs. That can create confusing bonds in a way that, once again, like I say, attraction and sexuality can be such a spectrum. You can end up doing things, seeking comforts because you're in this space. And let's remember, idols are still human. You can still develop those little crushes, whether they're inappropriate or not, just by being around someone. So when you hear them tell these stories, I'm like, no, there's something to it because they felt these things. They're not just acting. You can't just act all the time. They must be feeling it. And then you also have Haobin, which is Hao, and oh my God, Hanbin. What? Because I already said Haobin, I got so confused. Hanbin and Hao from Zero Base One, the gayest group ever. But from the jump, from Boys Planet, they were very close, and then them afterwards. And I think Hao, we already know he had a Twitter account where he was, I think, what's it called, Straightphobic or whatever? Or is that Kiho? No. I think it was Hao. I don't know. Hao was very anti-straight people from what I remember. So we know he's highly likely to be queer. Hanbin was in the queer culture. He loves tutting and whacking. He's in that. So, and yeah, straight guys could be in that. But with Hanbin, it's like, no, he's one of the girls. And they could be best friends. But some of it doesn't give best friends. It's like, oh, you lot are close. And I guess it's only natural to look at your favorite groups and be obsessed with how they interact with each other, because that's what gets you invested, because we do not get to obviously spend time with them, but seeing how they interact with each other, I guess perhaps gives you an insight of who they are as people, because you're getting to see them interact with each other. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's what makes it so fascinating and interesting. And of course, I can't leave out Matthew and Gonuk also from Zero Base One, once again. And this dynamic to me gives openly maybe bi, older, slightly older guy with slightly curious frat boy who's gonna, that's their vibe to me. And I think they've had such a beautiful relationship on, they are very, you guys need to just Google, you need to YouTube the clips and see for yourselves. But it's clear there's something special there. And which brings me to a point of also, men really seek intimacy and not always, doesn't always have to be sexualized or romantic, but intimacy in just in other men. So then when you're in this position where you can now really hug and hold another man, and it satisfies something in a way that you just need that balance in your life, that you're not always going to get that intimacy from a woman, and you don't, and you can't usually get it from men typically. And I do know, obviously, in Asia, a lot of Asian countries, male intimacy is a lot more normalized. Like, I think in a lot of, even some Muslim countries, like men hold hands, it's such a normalized thing. I think in India or Pakistan or Bangladesh, I'm pretty sure in the Southern Asian countries, it's so normalized to hold hands and be like that. But to this extent of what Matthew and Gunnick are doing, I think it does satisfy this thing. And then we see that and we don't know how far this satisfaction goes. It's like, are you not just comfortable and you're just really good friends, or is there more to it? And maybe also we enjoy these shippings because then we relate as well. It's like, oh, you're human too. You may have a crush as well. Oh, you may be in a relationship or those things. Or we see them get jealous and you go, oh, what's happening there? So there are layers to what shipping is, what it can do for a fan. And at the end of the day, we're going to have parasocial relationships anyway because we're invested in these artists. So really, what's the harm? And if you get it to a certain level, if you keep it at that certain level, it's just a cute little thing. Some fans absolutely take it too far, but some of them would feel more comfortable suspecting they're dating someone in the group than someone of the opposite sex, because then that makes it more real. So some of you lot, I'm like, are you really about it, or you're just using that to comfort yourself, knowing that, well, at least if they're dating each other in the group, he's definitely not going to date her. I don't like her. And as an industry with a predominantly female fan base, it's more comfortable to suspect that, I'm going to believe this supposed lie than accept a suggested truth that you're definitely going to like her. Because statistically, yes, more heterosexual combinations are likely to happen, whether someone is fully heterosexual or not, or even if being fully heterosexual is a thing, it's more likely to happen. So there's more real danger from a suspected opposite sex ship. So I do wonder if that's also a cover-up sometimes. So that's also something I go, whatever floats your boat. And then also there's a sense of queer baiting attached to that, and also fan service. Now, the term queer baiting, I should have Googled before, because I know people really, is technically only for characters, fictional characters, from what I remember. So it really shouldn't be applied to real life people. But then again, idols in a way are playing a character on stage sometimes. So I guess it will apply it here. People can feel, and as someone who is queer, it can feel like you're being led down a path of delusion, or that something, or being non-straight is only something that's really rare and something that doesn't really exist, or it's fake. And I get why I feel this way, but other people do as well, of why straight actors really shouldn't play gay roles anymore, because there are many gay actors out there who can't get roles because they are gay, so they can't sell the masculinity enough. But also there's always this thing of like, when you've fallen for someone's vibe in a movie and you have a crush on them and you see them fall in love with another man, it's like, oh, there's possibility. And then you see him in an interview going, yeah, my wife really liked it. And you kind of go, oh, yeah, you're also straight. Yay. It's just kind of like makes you feel like we only exist as this abstract thing on TV and movies. And it kind of, yeah, you kind of feel discarded in a way. So then it lacks that honesty. Of course, actors should want to play other roles and be challenged, but let's start doing that once we've had enough opportunities given to the people who can't normally get those roles. Similar to when white people were doing blackface before. It's like, there's black actors you can use. That doesn't mean none of the black people acting, you can start doing blackface. Different comparison, but you get what I mean. So yeah, I don't think really a lot of idols are queer baiting per se, but we don't know, to be honest. These labels could be saying, okay, you two are very popular. You need to start interacting more in your fan cams and interacting more on your lives or on your Weavers, whatever. So maybe it is intentional, because at the end of the day, it is a job. But then I can't help but feel like idols are still human beings. They can only control so much. And there's some incidences that feel very raw and authentic, or when it didn't feel like there's a camera around, and yet they still did things that make you go, what's going on? What's all this then? So it's not just a cut and dry thing of like, oh, it's just fan service. It can only go so far. Fan service can only go so far. And sometimes you can tell when it's fan service. And sometimes it's like, oh, you lot are having fun. This is fan service. Haha, brooch. So there is that element to it as well to consider, which could be unhealthy, obviously, for the idols who are not comfortable doing that. And I do feel you can't really force, for the majority, you can only force it so far. They're not going to keep doing it, let's be real, because to my knowledge, I don't think Big Bang or any YG groups have ever forced any sort of fake thing. Everything has always felt like, if they are doing things, it's always felt authentic. But then again, it's a bigger label, but you know, whatever. So I do think, and another part as well that I do think bothers me, is internalized homophobia with people who go, oh, don't presume their sexuality. And I'm like, you do know you're also presuming that they're straight. So you're still presuming asexuality. So it's like, don't pretend that you're now morally above us by going, no, these ships are so bad. They're going to make them feel uncomfortable. This is so bad. This is what if, don't presume their sexuality. But you're presuming they don't like men either, or they don't like women, they don't like the same sex. You're still presuming something, so you can't sit on your high horse and think it's doing damage or whatever. You don't, because you don't know. Just see it for what it is. Enjoy it if you enjoy it. If you don't, you don't. But you can't tell people what to do. That's my motto. You really can't tell people what to do. So that is that. So actually, what really inspired this episode, funny enough, and I'm nearly running out of time, is, for the first time in my life, and I'm glad I gave you a lot of the context of how I feel about romance and how I'm so anti-romance, I'm a new person. I have this agenda. I need you are from hearts to hearts and Haru from next to date. This is so crazy, because not only am I interested in them being romantic, they're also an opposite sex couple, which is so not like me. But I don't know why I feel this excitement. Maybe because I really love both groups. And I, for the first time, I really... And it goes to show as well, I don't just think anyone should just date. It's not a thing. It's only when I feel like it will genuinely be a good connection. They feel like... also, they do look a little bit alike. So people are like, Micah, that's weird. They look like siblings. But maybe that's because they're soulmates. Maybe I'm seeing something, you know? Maybe I'm seeing something. But I don't usually have those thoughts about anyone. But here I'm like, I wish I could set them up. Like, I want them to date in private and have the whole thing. Like, I just want them to have that thing, because they're both beautiful. They're both super talented. And they're both witty and they're sharp. I would just love to see them interact, actually. That would be it. I would love to see them interact. And which also made me consider this. When it comes to relationships, this is a little bit off topic, but I wonder what it's like to be an idol where most of us are conventionally attractive. Most of us are somewhat talented. So there's attractive people everywhere, essentially. What is that like when, what if two members in one group like the same person from another group? What friction does that cause? Or what if, two people start dating two others in another group and now someone else is feeling a bit lonely? Because remember, you lot, you can't forget what it was like to be a teenager and being jealous or feeling like you're not as pretty because your friend is getting more attention. These are things that happen to regular people all the time. I really wonder how it impacts the dynamic of groups. And I can see why there's such an importance in not dating and not thinking about relationships at least for the first 3-4 years of career. I get why they have dating bans, but then people are like, oh, people should be, no, there shouldn't be a lot of dates. Sometimes focus, because at the end of the day, you are a product that needs to make money for your company before you do anything else. So we can't afford to let you do willy-nilly. Sometimes some freedoms should be taken away temporarily, because humans very rarely can do it all. They're going to get distracted. Then you're going to not show up to work because you're heartbroken that day, or you and your member can't interact now because she looked at your man, or he was now messaging the idol, that the girl that you wanted from another group. So there's also, it can really get messy. But I was thinking of that, thinking, okay, I think Haru and Yuha should be together because they look like a perfect couple in my mind. But what if Haru prefers Stella, and then Stella and Yuha in the same year, and they're friends, same age friends? And then what if Yuha is actually more into you? Like, you don't know. But it made me think, what if that was the case? What if there's one particular boy group member who all the girls want for some reason? He just has it all. And then his bandmates feel inadequate because they're like, we're in the same group. Why aren't the girls into me as well? Or there's just so many layers to it. I wish we had TMZ. If we had TMZ, I would be talking about this shit every week, about like, oh my God, this couple, because it also just humanizes them. I want to see and know that side of them because they have it. Let's let them have it once they're successful enough and it's whatever. But I want to hear their honesty in that. But then again, the public obviously cannot handle that. Let's look what happened to Karina, man. Karina and her boyfriend had to break up. What a shame. I hope they're still dating in private, but that was real nasty work from the public. But yeah, this is where I stand on shipping. I completely understand its negatives and the pressures it can have, the unhealthy pressures it can have on the idols and how it can affect their bonds in real time. But also, there's so many positives. Like, you get to just hope that this is what they're like if they're happy, and you get to see men interact in a softer way. I don't know, it can just build. Some things don't have to have significant purpose. Some things are just guilty pleasures. It's like, you know what, this would be so cute. And you know, who knows, it can also be opening doors for them to also have same-sex interactions that are accepted, because technically if you were actually same-sex attracted, that shit would not fly. So maybe it's also a loophole for some of them to enjoy this physical intimacy, because it's like, yeah, this is what the fans want to see. Meanwhile, inside, they're also enjoying it, whether on a romantic or non-romantic level. So yeah, I think there's always nuance to everything, but that's where I stand on that. So Yuha and Haru, I hope one day, I don't know, I hope something's happening, but maybe not. Maybe they're not even attracted to opposite sex. That's the thing, you just don't know. So yeah, that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I did. It was fun to think about these things. And I will speak to you lot next time. Peace.